Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
I'm so glad you're here today because I have an amazing guest with us, Petra Fisher. Petra is a LinkedIn trainer with a twist. She's not too fussy about pleasing the algorithm. Instead, she shows you how to attract your dream clients, those who match your values, personality, and fees. The one thing she does every day, all day, is drink tea. And thank you so much for being here today, Petra. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Absolutely. And I would love for you to just really dive in your journey. What was your desire to even get here today? What was that road for you?
Sure. Thanks. So I guess my journey as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, started 12 years ago. And I was working in a company that had a big reorganization coming up, and about 25% of people were going to be let go. Now, I had been there less than a year, which in this country meant that I was on a temporary contract for 1 year. And usually after that 1 year, you get a permanent indefinite position. And so obviously when you need to let go of a lot of people, the easiest way is to not renew those contracts. I was like, oh, shit. You know. And people said to me, why don't you start, you know, working for yourself? And I was like, yeah, right, doing what? They said training. Training in what? So anyways, long story short, two of the temporary contracts got renewed and I was one of them, but they gave me another 12 months one instead of the normal permanent one. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I don't want to be in this position again in 12 months time.
Yeah.
But I'll start my own business because I still have the security of having a job, having the income, and then I have something to fall back on. And so at first I started out as a social media trainer, but I realized really quickly that I was too lazy to keep on top of everything. And when I say everything, remember, there was no TikTok, there was no Snapchat, yeah. There was no Instagram. There was LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and I already thought, ah. So I focused on LinkedIn only because I love how it's got all the different components of the narrative of your career, of your history, how you got where you are now, the network and the feed where you can learn or share or anything. So having all these components work together, I found that the most fascinating and interesting platform. By the next 12 months, I got my permanent contract. So I just kept it as a side hustle, but it was actually going, it was good fun and it was doing all right. So I talked to work, reduced my working hours, and yeah, after, I can't remember, was not a year or what, I just went full-time business owner, and that's what I've done ever since.
Wow, that's incredible. And I love that you just worked your way up to it. You were thinking ahead. You're like, okay, well, what happens in the next year if it doesn't get renewed? What am I going to do? And it just started to take off and really take form. And you were able to maneuver as it was growing to cut your hours back down at work, to be able to really service all the clients that were coming in and all the work you were doing. And I love that you really focus in on LinkedIn because it's something that is so undervalued or underused in my personal opinion, because I don't use it as much as I probably should. but I have seen so many people really thrive there. And I'm curious because clients that are not on LinkedIn, why do you think they need to be there right now?
Great question. Why I think everybody needs to be on LinkedIn is because to me, it is the easiest way to get clients. Other people find Instagram easy. I find that hard because I don't know. I think that's more hashtag driven, whereas LinkedIn is a little bit like Facebook. Like if you post something, and I comment, then your post also gets exposure in my network. So that way it's really easy to create that ripple effect. And you know, a lot of people come to me and say, how do I find clients on LinkedIn? And I'm like, why would you want to find clients? Let them find you. You know, if what you do is become extremely visible, and in a way that it's really easy for people to remember what you do, and people start talking about you. Like one of my, in the early days, the biggest client that I got, like in my first year, no, second year, was two mums were waiting at the school gate. And one of them says to the other how her husband got his, you know, left his job and got a nice little package. And part of it was that he was allowed to undertake some training, but, you know, had to use up that budget before the end of the year, which was only 6 weeks. And so this other mom says, oh, we had someone come in, you know, last year who was really, really good. I'll give you her number. So the client that I got wasn't even on LinkedIn back then, right? But because I had done that one training and I stayed so visible that even a year later, I was still first on the other person's mind, they recommended me. And that is what I love about LinkedIn. You could, well, I would say get people talking behind your back, you know, but then in a good way, rather than having to do the searching for clients and the prospecting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely power of word of mouth and just being able to have that referral base. Once they've experienced your service, the trainings, they have that opportunity to be like, oh, you need to talk to Petra. You need to get her on board. And so I'm curious, how do you find the right clients when, if maybe LinkedIn isn't there, or if you don't know how to search or navigate that, what do you do?
Yeah, so for me, I don't look for clients. What I do is I think about who is my ideal dream client? Like, you know, what do they do? What do they believe in? Where do I want our values to align? Because we don't have to agree on everything, but certain things are non-negotiable for me. And then I start showing up really on my knowledge, but also on these other things. So that people start talking about me and refer to me. But also, you know, we're sharing knowledge. The other day, I shared a video, and it was 13 minutes. And usually people don't watch 13-minute stuff on social media, right? So I started my post, like, who in their right mind or whatever would watch a 13-minute video on LinkedIn? But what if I told you this was a really, really good training and it only takes 13 minutes and it's just here for you for free, you know, you don't have to sign up. And by giving that nugget of what is usually something that I only share with my clients, just throwing it out there for the public have gotten me two high ticket clients just because A, they saw the quality of what you achieve when you work with me, and B, the fact that I just throw it out there. And it's also people talking about me. My latest client came to me because they were at some networking event and someone was doing a presentation about personal branding and had a screenshot of my LinkedIn profile as an example that you don't have to be stiff or formal or boring. And someone saw that screenshot of my profile, burst out laughing, seeing my headline, went looking for me afterwards, and then became a client.
I love that because you're right. A lot of people think, well, LinkedIn is very stuffy or have to be so serious and you can't really be yourself or be authentic. You have to be like this professional versus like more, a little bit more personal is okay. And I love that you are not stiff and serious, like you are you and you show up as yourself, because I do think that's a really important factor, because you think a lot of people from your experience, maybe when they hear about LinkedIn or just even talking about it, have that same reaction, like it's serious. It's not the platform for me.
Yeah. And especially like the headline that I have now, that started out as a bit of a joke, you know, I was tired, I was about to go on holidays and I just put something that came up in my mind and went away on holidays, didn't go online for 4 weeks. I thought, oh shit, that headline, I better get rid of that. Except when I logged on, I had so many connection requests from people who said, oh, I just you know, noticed your headline and I burst out laughing and I had to connect with you. Then the next thing that happened, people were saying to me, look, when you focus on business owners, just solo entrepreneurs, that's fine. But if you still also want to deliver training in corporate and in government, you got to get rid of this headline. Well, the first year I had that headline, 78% of my revenue came from corporate and government, because guess what? It's just human beings that work there. And, you know, they don't want stiff and boring either. They want someone who's going to keep their team awake during some kind of training, you know? So, yeah, then I thought, all right, I'll keep it. It works for me. And now it's really become part of my brand, you know, that starts with cranky old fuddy-duddy. People refer to me as the cranky now, and I can never get rid of it anymore now.
No, but that's such an important aspect of that connection piece, being able to really just be human and do trainings where people are going to stay awake and feel that energy around it, because it might be a difficult topic or any kind of training, let's say for a corporate in particular. But having your personality shine through just allows people to really see it and want to know more and want to like learn what they're having to be trained on or wanting to be trained on as well. And I'm curious, because we were talking about clients, and I know you've had a lot of clients, whether it's the training and all aspects from LinkedIn too. What has been maybe one or two client success stories you could share with us?
Yeah, for sure. So one success story is a client who came to me, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And she came from corporate, had started her own business, and, you know, just really wanted to. So this was someone in Germany, and in Germany there's another network called XING, and a lot of the German-speaking countries, so Germany, Austria, Swiss, people are all on XING rather on LinkedIn. And this was right about the time when that started to shift, when LinkedIn was pushing in and getting the German-speaking countries as well. So she didn't have a LinkedIn presence at all. And because she had a strong business background, she was just sitting at the kitchen table and doing calling. And so we started working together. Usually I work with people for 3 months to really get everything into place, but also get them into a habit and routine. And by then, you know, a few clients popped up. So we stopped working together. And then probably 6 months later, she came back to me and said, look, we did all this work. They got me all these clients. And then because I had all these clients, I didn't show up on LinkedIn anymore. And now that some of the projects are finished, she said, I need a bit more accountability. So she went on to a retainer where just once a week, we looked at the network and comments and what posts she was going to write or edit them together. So anyways, after about 18 months when I first met her, she was working out of a co-working space, had 3 subcontractors working for her. And I didn't realize at the time that when she first started working with me, she actually borrowed the money. Had I known, I probably would have talked her out of it. I don't like that, you know. But so she's gone from sitting at the kitchen table, cold calling, borrowing the money to work with me, to having a thriving business, renting office space, and having subcontractors working for her.
Oh, my gosh.
So that one was pretty cool. Another one was a client that I lost due to this experience. You know, this was a coach, a leadership coach. And once she became more visible on LinkedIn, she got approached by an agency that connects coaches with corporate on the longer term contracts, where it's sometimes a year long contract. And she got so much work out of that, you know, she's like, I enjoy our calls, but I don't actually really need them anymore. And it's like, yeah, cool. That's totally fine. That's just the two that come to mind.
No, and I love the fact that you really were able to help both of those clients. But I appreciate the second story too, because it just shows you did what you needed to. You guided that client to that next step, so that client could take that next step with moving forward. And it just, that's the best kind of client to have, I think, is where you're able to get yourself out of a job essentially, because you've helped them so much in the capacity you could. And now they're going in a different direction in what they originally thought. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So most clients, if they really want to work with me one-on-one, that's generally about 3 months, but they're still part of my membership community for a full 12 months. So they still get all the support and the masterclasses and all that. Yeah. And, you know, some who want to go on a retainer, sure. But yeah, my goal is to get people to a place in 3 months where they can do it all by themselves. And I think over the years, because how my own business has evolved and how many people in so many different kind of businesses I've worked with, I've noticed that there's a bit of a shift in my service delivery as well, where I'm adding in sort of almost between the lines more business coaching as well, because people come to me ultimately to get more clients to grow their business, you know, and LinkedIn is just a tool. And so I've noticed that I'm working more with clients also on refining their offer or their business model or other things, so that we can then use LinkedIn in the best possible way to achieve that outcome.
And you're right, it really allows people to continue to evolve, even in the entrepreneurial space, understanding that even if you start with a certain business, it can evolve, your services evolve, or you might completely shift gears. And that's okay. That's part of that process. And I'm curious, because I know LinkedIn is such a huge tool that you utilize and to get clients and, or clients coming to you or helping your clients get clients. And can you tell us about the free LinkedIn option that's available?
So yeah, I never actually recommend people to go for the paid version because it's quite expensive. And most people haven't maxed out on what you can do with the free version. So one of the things people say, like when they get into a bit more, like, okay, on the free version, if you look at who's viewed your profile, you only get to see the last five.
Right.
On a paid version, you can see anyone 3 months back. But realistically, what does that mean? Because let's say you got, I don't know, 50 profile views a week. If you're on a free thing and in the morning when you start work, you have a look. And at the end of the afternoon, before you log off, you have another look, because 50, that's 10 a day. If you can only see the last five, you'll still catch them. So why would you pay for it? Because, and the other thing is, what are you going to do with that information? Because just looking at it and then not acting, which is what most people do, then why pay to get more? A few years ago, especially before Sales Navigator, we had way more advanced search filters in the paid account. Most of that's gone. So that's not a reason either. There's a little bit more, few more insights, but it's not all that big, not compared to what it costs. Like, I have a paid account, but I've had it for over 10 years and I'm still on that rate that they were charging back then, which is quite different to what they charge today. You know, LinkedIn Learning has a lot of courses. You have full access to that when you have a paid account, but there's so many courses and things out there on the internet anyway. So anyone who is ever considering going for the paid account, usually you get the option to have a 1 month free trial. Only take that out when you have spare time, because so many people I hear, they took the 1 month and said, well, it didn't make any difference. It's like, well, what did you do with it? And they look at me like, you know, if you're gonna take out the 3 month, go and take some of the really good courses that are out there. Check every single day who's viewed your profile and make notes, reach out to them, or use those insights to see if you're actually reaching the right people, or if you, you know, have to change your content strategy because you're not reaching the right people. Like, all these things, there is a lot of stuff you could use. I don't think it's useful for most people because they just don't utilize it. I think if you want to use LinkedIn, really dig into everything you can do with free. Like, even in your searches, there's this thing, it's not a LinkedIn thing, that's called the Boolean search. It's almost like an Excel formula where you say, you know, you put in brackets this or that, and then you say, and that, blah, blah, blah. You can use that in LinkedIn, and then you get way more refined searches. And then if you apply some of the filters that are available in the free account, you can get extremely specific. So I don't really see, you know, I'd sooner invest in learning everything about using LinkedIn than investing in going for the paid version, because that is, I don't even know what I think it's like $80 a month or something these days. It's quite steep.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I really had no idea, because I've been, I did the month free a while ago. This was like maybe a couple of years ago, but even like with one of my businesses now, I'm recruiting. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna like start using maybe the paid one, but it's really, I've just been using the free options of being able to do exactly what you said. So I feel like I'm on the right track now.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Yeah.
But I appreciate the honesty too, because there's so many resources and tools. And even with what you were saying with the learning and the courses that they have available, there's a lot of things online. It's being able to use your resources in ways that make sense for you and your time as well, your time and your energy. So with everything that you've been able to build on LinkedIn in particular, but your whole business, I'm so curious, what was that? I know initially you weren't sure what was going to happen with that contract, that 12-month contract, but I'm so curious, what was the drive to actually start your business?
Well, I think to actually start, it was literally that. It was being scared shitless. I'm a single mom. I have a child, a cat, and a mortgage, and all three of them are quite demanding. So, you know, I was like, I can't afford to lose my job. It's like, so the initial drive was pure panic. But I think once I started doing it and working with people, so I have a, you know, my early career is in social work, working in women's shelters, working with drug users, working with the homeless, all that kind of stuff. So it's always been helping people. From that, I moved into a training focus. So you're still helping people, but in a slightly less dramatic way. And I think that's what I love so much about doing this, because I'm still using all my coaching skills. I'm still helping and supporting people. And so often when I talk to a client and I ask them about some of the jobs they've had, and sometimes they're at first, you know, we sit there talking and they go a bit looking and they talk. But then when I feedback what I hear, because they're sort of like, oh yeah, that job, that wasn't so important because all I did, and then they go on to the next. And then I go, all right, so what I'm hearing is, this is where you started to develop this skill. This is where you really honed it. And this is where you're at now. And you see them sit up straight and eyes shine. It's like, that is one of the things, apart from them then getting clients and building their successful business, but when I'm working with someone one-on-one, to literally see their confidence and their self-awareness and their belief in themselves really come up. And I see that so much, even with people that are already quite successful and just want to go to the next level. There's always, you know, I worked with a CEO of an American company, but it's worldwide. So he was the CEO of Europe and Middle East or something, you know, some big hot shot.
Yeah.
And male. And he said, look, took me a month when I still thought they're going to come in here and just wheel me out saying you're an imposter. You know, it's like everybody at some time or some aspect experiences that insecurity. And to be able to show people that the reality actually proves they are really good at something, that is something I don't know, I just enjoy it so much. And especially now that I no longer do the social work, I focus a lot on clients that, well, I just sort of call them the do-gooders, but, you know, people who run values-based businesses, who are purpose-driven, who want to create an impact. So that's sort of indirectly are still doing good in the world.
Yes, and you can just see it when you light up talking about it as well. And I think that's so beautiful, because even the drive and the desire to start this business, and obviously it came out of a necessity, for to think of the future and what you needed to make sure your daughter was okay, your cat, the mortgage, you, everything. And so when you started to build your business, I'm very curious, what were those initial steps? What did that look like as you were starting to figure things out? So if somebody's listening that's in that position, they're like, what do I do?
Yeah, I know. And, you know, in a way, it was a luxury position that I started as a side hustle. Mm-hmm. Because if, you know, I took on a client once, and this is when I was still a social media trainer rather than just LinkedIn trainer. And I had this sort of, you know, this gut feeling like, oh, I don't know about this, but it was by my standards at the time, big money. And I was like, well, I've been asked for it. I should do it, right? And I was Googling like crazy. And sure, I knew more than them. So
yeah,
according to them, I did a good job. But I knew that I hadn't done a good job because I knew where I was lacking. And then I realized, yeah, the money was nice, but I've got the income that covers the basis. And because it was a side hustle, it was pretty much the difference between going to Thailand or going to Spain. You know, I mean, Europe, so Spain, it's like you going to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so that being able from an early stage to listen to my gut after I hadn't done it the first time, I think that is what really allowed me to grow. Because when you only take on the things that you think, yeah, you're really excited about it, mm-hmm. then you're going to do a really good job and the client's going to be really happy and you get word of mouth. And, you know, that's how it starts to happen. So I think I was fortunate that I was working somewhere where at some stage I could reduce my hours so I could ease into it. Also because I didn't have a safety net, I didn't have a partner or anything. Right. And the other thing is to realize mm-hmm. that I was not my ideal client because mm-hmm. I started charging way too low. Because, you know, I didn't have an entrepreneurial background. Yeah. I didn't know how these things worked. And I was just, you know, really scared to sort of ask for $40 an hour. Whereas as a business owner, you can't live on $40 an hour because you have, you know, your expenses, your taxes, your everything that's, well, especially in Europe, a lot of stuff is taken care of when you're an employee because it's the difference between your gross wages and your net wages. And when you work for yourself, you get to pay for all of that. So I think one of the biggest lessons was really think about who you want as your client mm-hmm. and what value you bring to them rather than what you might not be able to afford, you know, when you're just starting out. And it also, once you start to charge higher fees, people start to take you more seriously. So it has a lot of different effects. First of all, it makes your work more realistic because if you literally think, you know, you work out to survive, you need to make this much a month.
Right.
And then you will, well, I can max work this many hours with clients because I also need to work this many hours on my business getting those clients. You could work at an hourly rate like that, but it's a big puzzle. And mm-hmm. once you up it a bit, obviously that gives more breathing space because you need fewer clients to make that income. Mm-hmm. Clients take you a lot more serious because, you know, even if you okay, so here's my computer mouse, it's an ergonomic kind of thingy, and that costs €100. Mm-hmm. Now if I see one of that like for 10, I'm not going to trust that the €10 one is any good quality, right? Mm-hmm. And so that works with us as well. When you're charging too low, mm-hmm. people don't think you're the right quality. And the biggest bonus for upping your fees a bit more is you only attract clients who are willing to do the work because they're like, shit, I paid this much, I better get the most out of it, you know, and they'll do everything and they'll do more. And they'll, if you say, look, let's work on this week and I'll see you next week. If you got any questions, you know where to find me. They will message you in between because they're so motivated, so driven. So on so many levels, I think for your business, you don't have to charge really high numbers just because you can, but definitely don't undersell yourself.
I was just listening to a podcast talking about this exact aspect of value and the price point, if it's too high, too low. But the main aspect is the value that you place on the quality. Because I noticed even when I was coaching, my offers when I first started, they were pretty low. And then as soon as I bumped it up, I started to see a flux of clients coming in. And I've seen that with so many other coaches and other capacities, other businesses, other things, because there is a quality attached to it. It's almost like in the psyche, it shifts of, because my background in psychology too, and social work, and I'm sure you understand that, but understanding how it really does change of the work that they're going to put in and the energy, because they know that there's that value number attached to it, even though the work is the same. You're being able to create a beautiful service, but charging what your worth is and really breaking down the numbers. I love that you mentioned that too, of, okay, well, you have to have that face-to-face time with your clients, but then what's happening on the background of your business? If you haven't outsourced everything, or if you need to pay for the outsourcing, what are you doing? Being able to really see those numbers so you can really identify that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I think a big part as well is when we talk about value, you know, some coaches say, oh, you got to chart what you're worth. Well, I'm not going to stick a price tag on me, you know, but so you look at what is the outcome of your work worth to your client.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I was talking to someone who works with high achieving people who are drinking too much, but still high functioning.
Yeah.
And her coaching is not over the top, but it's not cheap either. Mm-hmm. But I said, okay, but how much are they spending on alcohol? So how quickly would they earn your coaching sessions back? But apart from how much are they spending on alcohol, how much more sleep will they get when they get off alcohol? How much this, that, what is the real outcome? And that is what your fee needs to relate to.
Well said. And I just love the journey that you've been on and being able to really get really crafty and nifty with what you were doing and being able to grow your business. And as you've grown your business, what have been some of the obstacles you've faced in doing so?
I think one of the obstacles, being a one-person business and being a single mom, that sometimes I've had to cancel a client last minute. You know, and then that's been hard. But I've decided when that first happened, you're in a bit of a panic and you're trying to come up with excuses. And then I think, nah, this is going to happen more often. So I was really upfront, said, look, this is a situation. I'm so sorry, can't do the call. We need to reschedule. I'm happy to give you an extra hour, you know, immediately make amends. But also I've learned now that when people book with me, I literally ask, you know, we ask for their details and their email address and whatnot. I ask for the phone number, but I literally say, when I ask for the phone number, I'm a single mom. Life happens. If I need to reach your last minute, you know, so so that they know, look, hey, if that's not what you want. So, but that has been challenging, you know, trying to balance things. Well, what we touched on, the pricing was an obstacle. But also I think understanding what clients really need. Because out of the 12 years I've been in business, I think I've been selling LinkedIn training for 8 years. Whereas it's attracting clients that people want. And LinkedIn is just a tool. And some of my best clients wouldn't have even considered LinkedIn. But so that is the other thing, you know, for me it's so clear. But it's and at first it worked, but as I got more into higher ticket programs, only calling it, you know, only talking about LinkedIn training became an obstacle because people aren't looking where we're at, where I'm at now with my clients.
Yeah.
Half of them aren't looking for LinkedIn training. The other half are. They're aware that LinkedIn is the missing link mm-hmm. in their marketing and in their client attraction. But it's, yeah, it's the personal branding, the thought leadership, the establishing authority and the attracting clients.
Yeah.
That is what people want. And so mm-hmm. that took me a little while where I wasn't aware that I really had to shift my messaging a bit. Because for me, the pandemic wasn't an obstacle because I already had my business online. So
yeah,
in a way, sure, at the beginning, everybody was scared. Mm-hmm. All the business owners thought they were going to lose business and nobody was going to invest. So absolutely, I didn't make any money for 3 months. So in that sense, it was an obstacle.
Yeah.
But once people started to realize this is something we got to deal with and we're still here and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and clients started to come back, for me, it actually became a little bit easier because I already did everything online. But right. now people were more open to it, you know, because, well, they had to. So now suddenly I was doing group training in companies online as well, whereas before they would always want you to come on site. I'm not really sure if there are many other, I'm sure there must have been obstacles because, you know, 12 years doesn't go like that, but I tend to forget quite easily the things that don't make me happy.
Well, it's just even a testament too of when the pandemic hit and having a business online already, a lot of businesses thrived because they already had the platform and the infrastructure of everything that they had built. And I love that it kind of, it was in just your story, like the first 3 months, it was kind of, it took a back seat, but then it almost like exploded because more people were open to the idea of online trainings and making it a little bit easier and more time efficient too. So you didn't have to like go physically or anything like that. You had the opportunity to do it in on the screen, essentially, yeah. even though you had everything online prior.
I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking when we think obstacles, and I think most obstacles in business, it's us, you know, we are our own biggest obstacles. Yeah. And I think one was mm-hmm. that, in early years,
mm-hmm.
I tried too much to please my clients. So I'm in Europe. If I got a client in the US, I'd be working with them my time, let's say 9 till 11 in the evening, because it was daytime for them, right? And these boundaries, when suddenly I realized, hey, if you want to work with me, then that's your problem. So you're in Colorado. I have a client just in the just outside of Boulder at the moment, just a little bit more up in the foothills.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're working at my 4 p.m. because I want to stop at 6. So that's 8 a.m. for her. But she wants to work with me. I've got someone in New Zealand who's in my membership, and she shows up at meetings when it's 4 a.m. for her. And I was like, I know some really good LinkedIn trainers in New Zealand, you know? So it's like, no, it's a... So setting those boundaries and looking after yourself. And I think that's the same thing as with your fees. Once you start setting boundaries and looking after yourself more, it actually also makes you more popular, for want of a better word, with your possible clients, because they see that you, hey, this is what I've got to offer, and take it or leave it, not in a nasty way, but it's sort of like, oh, okay, well, yeah, but I do want to work with you, so I'm going to put in a bit more effort.
Yes, boundaries are so essential, especially starting out too. The people pleasing, like you mentioned, when you're able to realize, okay, well, if they want to work with me, this is my schedule. I've done that too. And I know so many other people that have struggled in the beginning with the boundaries because they're like, well, I need clients. I need this in order to make payments and pay my bills and everything. But being able to realize too, it sets that authority of, well, I want to work with you too. Yes, but this is what I have to offer. This is my time frame.
Yeah. And I think a real eye opener for me, a bit of an epiphany at one stage was, okay, if it gets that desperate, they're like, oh, but I need the client to pay the bills, but I don't particularly want this client, or I don't particularly want to accommodate these demands. I thought, well, if I'm going to go down that route, I'm much better off go stacking shelves in the supermarket 2 days a week to get that basic income. Right. So that in my own company, I mean, luckily I didn't reach that point, but to that way, my own company should be fun and enjoyable. Yeah. And if I need to take on things I don't really want to do, then your own company that you work so hard for becomes something like an employer you wanted to leave 5 years ago. I thought, nah, if it comes to that, I'm just going to find some totally brain dead job that I can do an autopilot that doesn't tax my brain, so it doesn't take energy away from my company. But if I need some kind of base income, I'd much rather do that. But yeah, luckily I've had a few close calls, but hasn't happened. Yeah, I don't think it'll happen, but we never know.
That's true. But I appreciate that insight. It just really goes to show whatever will work best for you, because every situation's different. Realizing, because I think some people, and I know this personally, because I hit a point in my business where I had to get a part-time job to get health insurance, because health insurance is crazy here. And being able to do something that was so natural and easy to me, it was at like a coffee shop, and not having to worry about paying like my health insurance, which is in itself another story, but being able to do that and then still focusing on the clientele that I wanted to work with. So I am an example of that. However, I was able to eventually leave, and it was financially fine to pay for my health insurance. But I, looking at the bigger picture of what you're saying, and to your point, is not bringing on clients that just to pay the bills, because that can shift your energy of what you're attracting, and it will continue to attract the clients that you might not want that don't fit like what you're trying to help them with. They might be great individuals, just not the right fit for you and your business model.
Absolutely.
And so if you could give your top two, maybe three tips for entrepreneurs on this journey, what would those be?
Well, tip number one, get on LinkedIn.
done.
But I think the biggest thing is to become really clear about what you want everybody to know about you in such a simple message that it's easy to remember. You know, when people think of me, they say, oh, she's a LinkedIn trainer, she always drinks tea, and she's a little bit mad. Yeah, that's what everybody remembers about me. Because that way, if someone meets someone else who needs your services, they can talk about you. And that is the beauty about LinkedIn. Look, you don't have to do prospecting, you know? And if you want to, you could, but then you don't get called calling them, you know? You could sort of search for the kind of people you'd like to work with and start engaging with their comments. But I think LinkedIn is only a tool. And so you need to be extremely clear, not your perfect elevator pitch, because it's too long. People aren't going to remember that. You need to have something that is so easy for people to remember. And when you're extremely clear on that, you can use that all the time. You weave it into your profile. You have it in your content. You have keywords from it in your comments. The other day, someone commented on a post by a friend, and it was just a bit more lighthearted banter, whatnot. And I can't even remember exactly, but part of the comment was, when I am working, whatever. And I said, okay, it needs two more words. When I'm working, three words. When I'm working on a translation, la-di-da-di-da. So even though it was a very casual conversation on LinkedIn, sneak in those one or two words so that people start to, because this was a translator, to associate you with what you do. So I think that is my biggest tip. The other one is keep growing your network. Don't worry about, oh, but this person will never be my client. But do you know what his wife does? Do you know what his neighbor does? Do you know who else he knows? You know, so keep growing your network, because you never know who is going to know what. And the last thing I think is, for those people who think it's such a formal or whatnot thing, you know, early on today you said, oh yeah, people think it's a professional network. I guess it is, but I like to call it a business network. And then what the distinction for me is, when I call it a business network, I'd say, okay, if you're a business owner and you work with clients, how do you show up? You know, as you can see, I'm wearing a hoodie and a t-shirt. My profile picture is in a t-shirt because I never dress up. When you work with your clients, how do you speak? Do you speak very polite? Do you sometimes say, oh, shit, what I think I've done on this podcast? You know, that's how you show up.
Yeah.
You show up the exact way that you do when you're working with your clients. Are you going to alienate people? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are those the people you want to work with? I don't think so.
Well said. I'm so appreciative of that because I do think, you know, it's just being yourself, right? And this is usually how I show up for every call I have because I love dressing up. That's just me. But same with my profile picture. I think that speaks to just being who you are. And that can be really scary for some people of just being who they are, even though that's who they are. It's just this like internal conflict. I've heard it from so many different people in a lot of different ways and everybody's different, but I think it just speaks volumes what you said about growing your network. You never know who knows who that can help you or you can help them. It can go vice versa.
Absolutely.
Because it is about helping people. It's just, you never know. Like I like to call myself a super connector. I hear, okay, Petra's on LinkedIn. She can help so-and-so and being able to connect because I do think it's just building such a strong community. And that's originally why I even started the YouTube channel and the podcast was to be able to create this beautiful network so I can connect more people because I feel like there's so much to do and so many people that can help each other. It's just being able to find those, navigate it. With everything, I would love for you, Petra, to tell us where people can find you, find your services. We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Sure. Well, people can find me on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's the best place, you know, LinkedIn, look for Petra Fisher. See the crazy headline, you know, you find me. And yeah, I am on other social media and you probably got the links, but I don't show up there as often. So there's one link I actually still need to send you. So it's the one that's called petrafisher.com/checklist. Now this checklist is actually running you through all the steps, how I set out my profile to make sure it converts, like, you know, if my ideal client lands on my profile, that it converts into at least a lead and hopefully a client. So it goes through every single aspect of your profile, but with a bit of thought about what you want to achieve. So that is something that people can download on my website. Well, it sits in the featured section of my profile as well. So either way, yeah, I think that's the best way to really find me, just on LinkedIn, to get some good stuff out of me. It's to download that checklist.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that resource and all the links. And thank you again, Petra, for coming on to sharing your journey, everything that you've been able to accomplish these last 12 years, maybe more now, but being able to just really help people thrive in their lives, their business, and on LinkedIn. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Petra today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment. And we will see you on the next episode.